The Tom Woods Show, episode 2450.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, all you old timers out there from the Ron Paul 2008 campaign, you may remember my friend Larry Lepard, who spent $200,000 of his own money on full-page newspaper ads in support of Dr. Paul. Well, Larry has had an uncanny way with money over the years, and he made a presentation to my paid membership on how to insure yourself against currency debasement. That is to say, how to survive inflation. Well, I took that presentation out from behind the paywall, and I'm making it available to the general public for free. Check it out at tomwoods.com/Larry. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. I am delighted to be joined by Gerald Celente, who is the publisher of the Trends Journal. And I have followed him for quite some time because I learned about him during the Ron Paul days. And he was super outspoken and tough and awesome on everything. I thought, who is this guy? How do I not know about this guy? I see him regularly doing a program with our friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano. And he joins us today. Mr. Celente, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Thomas.
All right. First of all, let's talk about the Trends Journal, which Trends Journal has been around for, is it 40 years that you've been tracking trends?
Well, I've been in the business now for 42 years. We began the Trends Journal in 1991, and it was an 8-page newsletter back then, and it was a quarterly. Now it's a weekly magazine on averaging about 150 pages a week.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I've never worked harder in my life because it's so critical right now what's going on in the world. We're giving it everything we can, because we're at a very dangerous time. I just turned 76 years old on November 29th. And I said to myself, you know, at 76, I'm going to fight for the spirit of 1776.
Yeah.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I'm mentioning this because World War II isn't ancient history. It ended 1 year before I was born. And when you go back to the 1930s, for example, before the war began, Germany, it was at the top in terms of cultural advancement, science and engineering, culture in so many different ways when you look at the psychology of what was going on and what they were talking about. And all of a sudden, World War II, the whole place is destroyed. Berlin was grander than Paris before it was bombed out. And what I'm saying is that World War III has already begun. The foreign minister of Russia, Lavrov, said last week that the United States is actually at war with Russia, supplying the weapons, the training, the intelligence. If I asked you, he said, listen, Thomas, send me some weapons, send me some hand grenades. I want to blow this guy's brains out across the street. You're an accessory to the crime if you send them. What I'm saying is that they teach us in history, brainwashing, or as Judge Napolitano says, it's not public schools, it's government schools. They teach us, for an example, World War I began when they assassinated the Archduke Ferdinand at Sarajevo. What the hell is an Archduke and what's a Sarajevo? It was building up before that. Same thing with World War II. So my greatest concern right now is that World War III has begun. You saw what happened with the false flag thing when they came out and said, Russia sent missiles into Poland and killed two people. Dun da da da. Let's unite NATO. Dun da da da. Hey, wait a minute. They were lying. The Ukrainians blew it up. But you saw the action right away. And that's all it's going to take. A false flag event. Just like the people marched off to the COVID war. Watched off to, I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a Yankee Doodle Do or Die, over there, over there, oh, the Yanks are coming over there. Get your brains blown out for some sick maniac that's running your country. Be a stupid fool, swallow their crap, all right? That's where we're at. And so if the people don't unite now under a banner of freedom and peace, we are finished, because you have mentally ill, deranged pieces of crap running and ruining our lives, and it's nothing new. What's your favorite war? I like the Peloponnesian War. You know, the 100-year war was great for me. Hey, Howard, let's make it nice. Let's call it the War of Roses. You got mentally ill people. Look at that little clown Blinken. Look at that arrogant little boy who couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. And what does he come out with again this week? Keeps going after it, going after it, going after it. Blinken says goal is to push Russia back to pre-war lines. Hey, fat mouth, go over there and push him back.
Look, back in the 1990s, I'm sure as you were looking at the world, you were thinking things were pretty bad. But as I keep saying, doggone it, if I could have the 1990s back, it would almost seem like a paradise compared to today.
Yeah.
So what kinds of trends were you seeing in the 1990s? I mean, it seems
like... The 1990s, again, I wrote the book Trend Tracking, far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine, back in 89. Well, my concern back then was they're doing away with the regulations that allowed the bigs to become bigger and squeezing out the mom and pops and the whole frauds of the stock markets and the beginning of the merger and acquisition activity and hedge funds, private equity groups, all of that crap really started to build up big. And I knew that this is the end of the land of opportunity and we the people. Now it's we the people of Slavelandia.
What makes the study of trends, why is that different from just a regular news magazine?
Well, again, because what we do is we look at the current events forming future trends and making connections between different fields. It's globalnomic. So I say to people, opportunity misses those who view the world through the eyes of their profession. And that's what people see it. Economists look at the economy. They're not looking at geopolitical and socio trends that are changing. And I was the first guy that, you know, again, it's all there in fact. I started talking about the bottled water craze back in the 80s when there was hardly anything. I forgot that French name of that, those bottled waters they used to have. That was the only one, started with a P. And then I came up with clean foods. New York Times did an article about it in the early 1990s. So we look at very many different things because all things are connected. Whereas Chief Seattle allegedly said, all things are connected like the blood which unites us all. So they don't teach trend forecasting in school. They don't teach it at Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Cambridge, Oxford. They don't teach it anywhere. You know why? They don't know how to. And the reason they don't know how to is they're caught into their belief system. And I'm a political atheist. I look at the facts for what they are. Again, the cover of the Trends Journal last week was politics, the new religion. People look at politics as their religion. And how could you be so stupid to believe in this crap? Have an open mind. But you don't have an open mind because I mentioned about why they don't teach it in the school system, because they teach you the programming. We're the only ones that teach trend forecasting. And I get a kick out of it. I look at these other trend magazines. They talk about, you know, fashion and what's going on in the music. Yes, grow the hell up, for Christ's sakes. What are you talking about here? How about what's going on in Ethiopia? Oh, what's in Ethiopia? Well, it's like a Yemen. You never heard of either one of them. No, not a lemon, a Yemen. Oh, the Yemen that the war that the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner Barack Obama sent Blinken over there when Saudi Arabia announced the war from Washington, D.C., in March of 2015, that they were going to take over? Is that the the worst humanitarian crisis on earth, according to the United Nations? Why those lousy Russians? No, it's the Saudis and the Americans. And Blinken was the guy giving them, quote, intelligence as the United States Air Force was refueling the bombers leaving Saudi Arabia so they could kill the Yemenis. Oh, Salenti, we don't care about that. Hey, how about the World Cup, huh?
Well, okay, a couple quick things. With COVID and Fauci, we had an example of somebody who was looking at the world only through his profession. So I want to suppress COVID, which he didn't even succeed in doing that. But people would ask him, but what about all these other consequences in all these other areas of life? Because there are other things to be concerned about in life other than COVID. He admitted at one point that he hadn't really thought of that. How do you not think of that? So, of course, we need to see all these big connections between one thing and another. Now, let me ask you a really big picture question, though. Obviously, there are a ton of very, very unpleasant trends at work in the world right now. And they just seem to be multiplying. The world, you know, just, I think about 10 years ago when I would be talking about how terrible the world was.
Yeah.
Again, I would take 10 years ago in a second.
Yep.
But what I want to know is, can you share with us any developments you see that are actually favorable in terms of pushing back on some of the stuff that we are enduring right now?
The positive trend is there are enough people that understand that Washington, D.C. is nothing more than a crime syndicate. They're murderers and thieves. How many more wars do they have to get us into, and how much more money of ours do they have to steal? Too big to fail? You're just a piece of crap. But hey, we'll pump $29 trillion from the central banks to the banksters that caused the problems of the crash of 2008, the panic of 08. They're too big to fail. You're not. They're murderers and thieves. Now this baloney crap with Biden, of the, what do they call it, the Inflation Reduction Act. It has nothing to do with reducing inflation.
Yeah.
Just like the Patriot Act had nothing to do with patriotism, robbed us of our rights. And what are they doing? They're giving money to big corporations from all over the world to build chips in the United States, with Clinton bringing us into NAFTA and China into the World Trade Organization that left all the jobs, left the United States. And now they're taking our money and giving it to the big corporations. Mussolini calls the merger of state and corporate powers fascism. And that's what we've gotten into. So going back, what's going on and what it means is that the economy is going down big time. They dumped all this cheap money in to fight the COVID war. $6 trillion between Trump and Biden. Zero interest rate policy. Europe, same thing, but worse, negative interest rates. When all else fails, they take you to war. So that's where I see it going.
I would think this would be rather a depressing part of studying trends, that you see things very clearly, and you see who the good and bad guys are. And unfortunately, we have rather an abundance of bad guys. And you just can't believe that these regimes manage to exploit their populations, loot them, propagandize them, get them to go along with all kinds of crazy nonsense that only harms their standard of living. And you just, it must be extremely irritating as one who studies trends to look, frankly, at the general public. You think, well, the general public will see through this. I mean, they're the ones who are being looted, and they're the ones having the value of their money dissipated, and they're the ones being taught to believe all kinds of nonsensical things. Surely, at some point, they'll stand up to this. And to the contrary, I look on Twitter, and half of America sounds like is cheering it all on.
Well, again, I went off track a little bit because that was the question you asked, and I said, what are the positives? And yeah, you're right. Half of them do. And I was saying how bad it is, and I lost the track. What I was going to say is that the good news is that there are a lot of people that know how bad it is. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brushfires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. And we have that irate, tireless minority. So going back to the only way I could see it changing, and that's why I went into the crime syndicate, and I wanted to make it clear that they are, I call them the Repulsivekins and Democrats, is that we need a third party. Without it, we lose. End of story. Matter of fact, I do a weekly podcast with Judge Napolitano each week, and he made a comment. He said, if the Republicans did this and that, and I said, in the Bronx, we used to say, if means nothing. If means like, if my aunt had balls, she would have been my uncle. You know, it's, what are you talking about, if? There's no if here. It doesn't happen. We need a new party. And you know, the party that I was thinking, you know, Napolitano would be a great president. There's no man that knows the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in a legal way that he does and really defends it. And I was thinking also, so the show I was doing and a caller said, what about RFK Jr.? And I thought to myself, you know, what a ticket of RFK Jr., and Napolitano, vice president, that would be a good one in the sense that a guy like RFK Jr. could win. And I thought about his speech impediment, But that guy, I forgot his name, over the clown show they had going on in Pennsylvania, the guy had a stroke.
Oh, Fetterman.
Fetterman. They got a guy like him in. They could get a guy like RFK Jr. in. Do I agree with everything? No, but he's anti-war and he's pro-freedom. And of Napolitano, there's just about everything I agree with him on. And so we need a third party. Without it, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I try to make the point that I lost track of, to identify what a crime syndicate we have that people call a government. And I want to give you a quick background here. I began my career working on major political campaigns in Westchester County at a graduate school, 1971. And the first one I worked on was the mayor of Yonkers. And Yonkers is a city of over 200,000 people. And then I'm working on the district attorney's campaign, state senator. I got to know Biagi, the guy that was the congressman, Mario Cuomo, when he's running. And they sent me up to Albany, and they're grooming me. And I became the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. It was the worst job I ever had. I quit after 1 year. Nobody could believe I was quitting. To watch grown men grovel to suck their way up to the top ate my trip. And I designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology, how to run political campaigns, and I taught it at St. John's University. I was the chief government affairs specialist for a major segment of the chemical industry in the 1970s. At 28 years old, I'm staying at the Willard Hotel and putting my meetings on at the Hay Adams. I was killing environmental legislation at the height of the environmental movement. I started to grow up around 32 years old. All I wanted to do was make money and have a good time. But I've been on the other side. I have a photo of me when I picked up Ronald Reagan at the Chicago Hilton. We were putting on a trade show at McCormick Place 2 days before he's announcing he's running for president against Gerry Ford. Picked him up, him and Mike Deaver, in a taxi cab in those days. You know, a car. It's 1976, I was 30. I wouldn't know what I know if I wasn't on the other side. And that's why I'm saying the only way it's going to change is with a new third party. And when you look at the cover of this week's Trends Journal magazine, it says it all. Stop the bitching and do something and join the movement for peace and freedom. Because we got to stop complaining. And we have to take action. And my heart's broken. I'm angry, yes, but I also cry because I see the future. That's my business. And we talked about that guy Fetterman, right? Again, to me, it was a clown show with that guy, the Wizard of Oz, over there running against him. Fetterman exemplifies how low America's gone. Look what a slob dresser that guy is. Look at the lack of dignity and respect he exemplifies. Once upon a time, my parents' generation, I have a photo of immigrants, Italian immigrants, 1934, their wedding. Elegance of the first degree, the Musks, the Bezos, the Buffets, none of them could look as great as these people did. And they were laborers. They worked in factories. The elegance and class that America used to have. Jazz, it was America's greatest export. Count Basie, Duke Ellington. And now you got one bad rap.
I hear you. Hey, folks, quick sponsor message. If you're like me with Christmas here, you're sending gifts all over the country. And I'll tell you something. Your friends already have the gift basket with the sausage stick and the cheese. They've already got that. What they don't have is a massive variety bundle from Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks have been a staple of the Woods household since probably 2008. Great value, convenient, and delicious. Well, they are having a massive blowout right now that's made even better because you know Tom Woods. They put together a delicious selection of various gift packages to make shopping for the ones you love nice and easy. Go to omahasteaks.com, take advantage of 50% off site-wide, plus use code WOODS at checkout to get an additional $40 off your order. So send an assortment of mouthwatering favorites like the delicious Butcher's Cut Filet Mignon, air-chilled boneless chicken, ultra-juicy burgers, even easy-to-prepare comfort meals that are ready in a flash. And yes, if you give this kind of gift at Christmas, that makes you, let's be honest, a better person than everybody else. So don't wait. Order today and beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code WOODS at checkout. That's 50% off site-wide. And plus, with promo code WOODS at checkout at omahasteaks.com, get that extra $40 off your order. Minimum order may be required. So again, as somebody who tracks trends, I think about the sorts of things that we face all the time. We face, for example, a military-industrial complex that won't go away, that has to manufacture enemies. Like, obviously, after the Cold War, that thing should have been cut down to size, and yet it's bigger than ever. So that's a trend. And that's a trend that it seems very, very hard to reverse, not only because there's so much money in it and there's so many vested interests in it, but because they've co-opted the whole general public. Everybody knows somebody in his family or extended family or friends who has served in the military. So they all look at it through rose-colored glasses. And if you try to give people a more nuanced view, they're already pre-programmed not to listen to you. And culturally, we think about the football games and whatever, it's all militarized. That's a really, really hard trend to overcome.
Now, again, the two things you mentioned, the general public, forget about it. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush eyes of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. So again, you forget about the general public and you unite those that, again, when I said the positive thing is a lot of people are fed up with this. And secondly, you don't waste your time trying to change their mind. Go back again to Samuel Adams when the American Revolution happened, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, between 5% and less than 5% of the people supported it. And at the height of it, less than 50% of the people supported it. They don't count. They don't count. They're not fighters. We have to unite the people that believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, a declaration of independence. The word happiness is never used anymore. Read Washington's farewell address. Besides talking about not getting involved in foreign entanglements, he keeps talking about happiness. It's gone. It's gone. And as far as the military-industrial complex, you know, people that are listening to you and your audience and mine, they know that Eisenhower, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, 2-term president, farewell address, January 17th, 1961, warns the American people that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. Can you stop them? Maybe not, because you'll blow your brains out. And maybe that's what they did to Kennedy, because he was pulling the CIA out of Vietnam. Right after he was killed, Johnson did a mandate to put him back in. Kennedy was the guy with the Cuban Missile Crisis. Okay, we'll pull our missiles out of Turkey, you take them out of Cuba. Kennedy was the guy that didn't want to blow up Cuba as the military-industrial complex did when Castro overthrew Batista. So maybe they killed him because of that. And again, you know, there's this guy, John Pilger, who wrote the book Silencing of the Lambs. And he put out an article recently, and he said, in my lifetime, the United States has overthrown or attempted to overthrow more than 50 governments, mostly democracies. It has interfered in democratic elections in 30 countries. It has dropped bombs on the people of more than 30 countries, most of them poor and defenseless. It has attempted to murder the leaders of 50 countries. It has fought to suppress liberation movements in 20 countries. Oh, those dirty Russians. It's like, what hypocrisy. So again, as I said, I turned 76 and I'm fighting for the spirit of 1776. And the spirit of 1776 was a revolution. And we need a revolution of life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. If we don't have it, it's just going to go downhill. Look how low this country's gone. Oh, I mentioned about the things I've done, right? What I did in the environmental and on the other side. I also put on concert when I was with the Trade Association for Ella Fitzgerald. Dionne Warwick took over the Superdome. So I know the passion and beauty of life. My office is in an old supermarket. It's called the Mohegan. It's like an old A&P. I have over 200 plants in my office. I take care of all of them. I surround myself with beauty. I have artwork everywhere. I cook almost every night to eat well and to have the best of the best. So what I do, I work out every day. So to get my mind off the ugliness that I have to write about, read about, and study, I surround myself with beauty because art, to me, is the way of finding the true meaning of the human spirit. So going back to how to change it, we have to bring back that human spirit. And for me, a renaissance, a true American renaissance of what this country was founded upon and what it was at its height has to be brought back in order for it to change. And by the way, the renaissance happened when? After the Black Plague. The people realized they were killing themselves. Alla Romana, all'antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients, what the Italians said when they were developing the crafts and beauty and art, they wanted to symbolize back to the greatness of what it was. And to me, that's the only way this country's going to come back.
Well, to give an even clearer picture of where you're coming from, I want you to imagine that you've just rubbed a lamp and a genie is granting you three wishes. What are three changes that you, with that genie, would want to make to America, whether the government or some agency or whatever? What would you want to see done? Three things.
First is for the people to reach, each individual, to reach to the highest level that they can achieve. And to do that, it's physical, mental, and spiritual. 42% of Americans are obese. 70% are overweight. Over 60% are eating ultra-processed foods. This stuff is killing you. You cannot be happy being in that shape. So you got to get into shape. And that, to me, is the number one issue. The first book I worked on, by the way, was called Natural Healing back in the 1980s. It was a Warner book. And my former wife, may she rest in peace, had ulcerative colitis. I'm going back to the 70s. And they were going to take out her intestines and anus at 27 years old. We went on this journey to find alternative healing. And then there was nobody talked about it back then. Very few. She became completely healed through natural healing, eating properly, vitamin supplements. And what I'm saying is that we've been taken over with the COVID war, for example. The only way that you can beat this is by getting an Operation Warp Speed gene therapy inoculation, the first ever injected into the human body. There is no prescription drug that heals a chronic degenerative disease, no allotropic drug. I haven't been sick, haven't even had a cold in 3 years because of the vitamins and supplements that I'm taking. And again, you think I want to work out every day? I'm 76. I don't want to end up as an inmate in a nursing home. Matter of fact, I just brought my sister from a nursing home up to live with me because I want to give her a happy ending. And she was in one of the best nursing homes anywhere. And had a private room and everything, but she was so unhappy being there all alone, I wanted to give her a life. So what I'm saying is, I don't want to become an inmate in a nursing home. So I want to do the best I can to stay in the best shape. So when you ask me what if the genie came out of the bottle, it's just, there's one wish, and that's for everybody to reach the highest level they can. Because when they do, they won't put up with the crap that's being shoved down their throat and won't repeat it. And by the way, to me, America went down big time. And I talked about the health issue when, again, I'll be hated for this. By the way, I'm going to change the name of the Trends Journal to Trans Journal because I don't want anybody to hate me. And my name is now Geraldine. I'll really be, you know, of course, I'm joking. This country went down when women went to work and stopped raising their children and gave their children to strangers and put them in daycare centers. I wouldn't have been me if my mother didn't raise me. I grew up in the Bronx as a kid. I was the youngest of five. I ran away from kindergarten at 4.5 years old across the Boston Post Road. They took me out of school because they couldn't control me. Now they'd have me all shot up with drugs. I wouldn't be me if my mother wasn't there cooking all day long for the family and giving us the best of the best. And now, what do people do? I'm busy. I'm working hard. I buy frozen processed food, prepared food, crap food, and feed it to my kids. When I went to college, nobody was going to see the school nurse. We didn't even know we had one. And now they're all going to them, not only because they're complaining about ailments all the time, but because of mental duress. Throughout history, since the beginning of time, women were raising their children, not strangers, not people that are being paid hardly anything, with a whole bunch of other kids that are out of your mind as a kid growing up anyway, and your mother's not taking care of you, some stranger is, and feeding you crap, can't understand why everything's so screwed up. That's the way I see it. And the motto of the Trends Journal is think for yourself. So anybody that's listening to me that's angry with me for what I'm saying, shove it. That's the way I see it. You see it the way you want to see it. I'm not telling you to believe what I believe. That's what I believe.
How do people get a sample of what the Trends Journal is all about? What's your website?
TrendsJournal.com, TrendsJournal.com. They subscribe to it. It's $14.99 a month. If you don't like it, tell us and we give you your money back up to 30 days. There's no risk. We have a magazine that's given out. Nothing comes close to it. Nothing. Matter of fact, to show you how bad things are, Time Magazine, last week's news next week, they just announced Zelensky, the man of the year, a guy that played a comedian on a sitcom, and on the sitcom, he played the president of Ukraine, and on the sitcom, he played the piano with his penis, and then became president of Ukraine, man of the year. So subscribe to Time Magazine, and you'll love being stupid.
But you subscribe to Trends Journal, and you'll say, once again, I listen to the Tom Woods Show, and I get excellent recommendations. Is there an electronic version? Is it just print?
It's all electronic. We can't, because it's over 150 pages a week. I mentioned to you, it was started out as an 8-page newsletter, quarterly, then we went to a monthly, now they're a weekly. But it's magazines, you could print out the PDF. And of course, there's the flip book in the magazine that you could go through it. Again, we're giving geopolitics, economics, socioeconomic, high tech. We have special articles by Dr. McCullough, Gary Null, Paul Craig Roberts, one after another. We're giving the people everything that we can.
All right, folks, check it out, trendsjournal.com. Gerald Seleni, if you're an old-timey Ron Pauler like I am, then you will know that name. You will remember. I remember you from the very early days of that first Ron Paul campaign. I guess the circles I started to travel in were all listening to you. And I thought, geez, where have I been? I don't even know this guy. So that was what brought me on board to the Gerald Seleni bandwagon. I'm glad to still be here and to be able to tell my folks about your Trends Journal. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much. And Ron Paul, by the way, that's the last person I voted for president. I honored him and look up to him so much. What a great man. And he taught me so much.
Indeed. Indeed. I couldn't agree more. Well, thanks so much again. It was great talking to you.
And thank you, Thomas. Thank you for all that you do.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free. And we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.